Strike a Chord Podcast, music chit chat with your hosts Valentina Gikowski and Amla Piriakabu.
Hey everyone, welcome to Strike a Chord Podcast, episode 26. We have here the fantastic Karina Lemon. Karina is a singer, songwriter, and loop pedal extraordinaire. Welcome, Karina.
Thank you so much. What a nice presentation, Amla. Thank you.
That went straight through. That was good.
Yes.
That was good. It's like you've met her before.
It's like we've met in a past life.
No. Yes, exactly.
So how long have you guys known each other?
I'm going to say 7 years or 6 years.
It was right.
I mean, we know each other. Like, we started to be close maybe 6 years ago.
Yeah, I think so.
Is that right?
Could
even
be longer.
Time flies when you've got good friends.
Yes.
But Amla reminds me to an auntie. And I feel like the very, like a family. I don't know. Yeah, she does. Like, it's really humor. Yeah.
Cool.
Actually, she was my godmother in Chile. She reminds me a lot to my godmother. Yeah, really. Like, your personality.
Sometimes
you have some the way you say things. It's like, it reminds me to my godmother from Chile.
Your personality.
Personality.
Very, very important.
Yeah.
Maybe on the reincarnation.
No. Maybe. When she passed away.
But she did pass away.
Yeah, I was just guessing it.
But who knows, you know.
Karina, what are you doing with your life at the moment? What are you? I know you're a looper and you're a fantastic musician and singer. What are you doing now? What's your inspiration now? What is it that Karina is doing right now?
Right now, well, I think my new loop pedal, which is not new anymore, but I've been working and exploring, you know, the loop music for a little while. I was always really intrigued by something that loops, right? In general, music works like that. But I love melodies and I love creating and playing with melody and, you know, putting myself limits to see how I can be very creative with those limits. And I think the loop pedal is a lot about that, about how do you, you know, like you put those limits of the loop pedal and then you have to come up with interesting melodies. They will create contrast so the audience doesn't, you know, get bored by, you know, the same thing over and over. And I think that inspiration, the loop pedal just took me to another level of like my own music. I used to create a lot with my guitar. And now I'm sort of exploring more the way of creating music just with my voice. Okay. And because I feel after 4 years of studying music and, you know, studying voice, I thought, well, this is a really, you know, amazing instrument, and also it's just sort of easy to whatever is in my mind, any melody, it's just, you know, singing the melody and you have, you know, and with the loop pedal it's just giving me it's a tool, it's an incredible tool that gives me freedom as a singer to create just with my own voice.
So within those limits it gives you freedom as well.
For sure.
That's good.
Look, since I started to write music, I always was really interested into understanding how people create music. You know, like I always go to, you know, YouTube, so read about songwriters that I like and see how they create their processes. And in a lot of them, I found that the having limitations helps you to create. Because when you don't have limits, then you think it's just overwhelming. It's just like, where should I start to write?
That's such a good thing that you said, because I think we all go through that sometimes and we want to sit down and be creative and there's all these ideas that flood into your head and you can't really get a grasp of anything and then you say, you know what, I'm just going to go have a coffee, I'm going to lay down.
It's true.
But yeah, that's very interesting. With your creativeness and your writing, when you start writing, or do you start with your loop pedal all the time, even when you're at home, or do you sit down and write lyrics, or what's the approach?
Lately is more about going to the loop pedal and exploring what is inside me. Yeah. And also I try to let the, you know, my mind, my heart to, you know, bring me melodies. And yeah, I think that just helps me with the starting process.
Yeah.
And then after, I just get an idea of like what I want to write about. And of course, there's sometimes that I need to sit down and just write lyrics.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a bit harder for me. So of course, whatever is hard, you try to avoid it. But yeah, definitely, I'm one of those musicians that I need to sort of like take myself to go and sit and write a bit more. I'm very good with melodies. I love just going to my loop pedal and just creating whatever.
Yeah.
And then from then, I get some ideas for creating music. New songs.
You yourself, you do loop as well. What's your approach?
Well, I mean, I have to say, Karina really inspired me to loop and to also use the same loop.
Yes.
Karina's way more advanced at it than me. I mean, that's in my hard basket, as in learning how to actually use it properly. I just press the button and record.
The loop that you have, it gets a bit complicated. I've got one of those as well on loading.
Yeah.
I haven't opened it yet. I opened it, I put it on, plugged it in. I saw these flashing lights.
Spaceship.
And then I turned it off.
It looks like a spaceship about to take off.
Yeah. I think, I'm not quite sure what looper you have, but the looper that you have, I've got one like that. And you have to press buttons. I can't press buttons while I'm playing. So yeah. I need those.
It's a motor skill, or learning how to. Well,
you do it barefoot, I think.
I mean, I do it barefoot because, I mean, it's not actually intended for feet.
I think it's definitely intended for singers.
Yeah.
Or maybe whoever, like, I think with piano also it's not that difficult, okay. But still you need one hand to press the buttons.
Yeah.
There is one version that is more for, like, it has pedals on the floor, so it's more for instrumentalists.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah. Well,
I was looking at that one and I just, the way when I saw Karina use this one, I was just like, oh, I love this one's great. I'm going to figure it out, even though it's not intended.
Yeah.
And they have the instrumental, the guitar version with the
and it has pedals. The same effects, probably. No?
It does, but I don't know. I was reading to both of them, and I felt like this one, I preferred the one that Karina
used. Yeah, it's a bit more user-friendly,
I think. The same brand?
Same, I've got the exact same one, yeah. Yeah, but I didn't answer your question. My approach to looping, I haven't actually done it in a while, but I don't even know. I can't even think how I do it. I guess I always start with a beat. I just hit something into the microphone.
Yeah.
And then I just layer it. I'm not really thinking about it. I'll pick a key like you said. I love how you said it's good to have some guidelines at times. Otherwise, you just go and lie down and forget about it.
Yeah, yeah, and you forget about that. You're out of gig.
yeah. Well, sometimes I'll just be walking down the street and an idea will, like a little melody. Karina's queen of melodies. I love the ideas that you come up with, really catchy hooks.
Yeah.
So if I come up with a catchy hook, I'll just, like, if I can, I'll get to the looper and do a beat and then just add the hook and then figure out the rest later.
Yeah.
But I'm not really writing so much lyrics.
You're a melody freak. So.
Yeah.
You are.
But actually, that reminds me of something. When you're on stage with the looper, and something goes wrong, which it does, right? Like, how do you, like, if you started the beat or something like that, and something's not wrong, or you haven't hit the pedal at the right time, what's your get out of jail card there? What do you do? Do you just stop, or do you just roll with it?
I feel like you have to just go with it.
Okay.
I feel like it's way worse if you stop, but I guess depends on the gig. Lately, we had a gig for the Boîte, and I decided to do just one song by myself on the loop pedal, and it was a really new song.
And you did it the night before.
I think that one I already had it, but I wasn't really practicing. You know, those one of those songs that just come to me, and then I didn't listen to it. But I was like, oh, I got to do that one. That's actually a really good one. And I was so nervous, and I'm pretty sure the beginning was a little bit out of tune, and then I just laid it out a bit more and just like fixed the problem. But I decided I just had to go with it and just make it happen. And sometimes I feel you always need to think when you are performing in front of people, it's a lot about your attitude and what you're saying.
So true.
And if we stop because one little, you know, note is not right, it's like, well, really, like, what is the message that you are bringing? And that song has a really powerful message for women. So I thought, well, the more important thing here is what I'm saying, actually.
So it depends on where you're doing it and what song you're doing.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever really seen you stop your Lupo. Like, you're very, I have to say, Karina's very resourceful and professional, and I love that.
She's got it.
You figured out the Lupo. I know you say this, I mean, there's a lot to learn with it, but I've noticed that if there is something not quite right, even with the beat, you quickly undo it. You can also, there's an undo button.
Yeah.
Then because there's already a few layers.
That's what I was going to say, because you've already got layers, right?
No one really notices.
That first layer, though, is important, right?
Yeah. The first one, yeah.
But you're pretty good with the first layer, I have to say. It's quite solid.
Yeah.
I think what we need to do is just organize a gig where everything's just improv. Ooh. And people just jump in, jump off, and just see what happens.
It'll be amazing.
I would love to see that.
You know, loops, moops, whatever you want to put in there.
Moops, I like it.
Yeah. Like,
move your loop.
Yeah. Move your loop. Finesse the flow. I think we should organize something like that where there's just a whole bunch of us musicians just jump on stage and we just revolve around us. So we just jump on, jump off, come in, come out, and just
no guidelines.
Just hit that first loop and then go with the flow. Mm,
yeah, I think that in general...
I reckon that'll be interesting.
Very interesting. I love, I feel like having jammings with other people is just amazing and doing improvisations because you learn so much from other musicians.
Oh, yeah. You learn about yourself too.
Exactly. Mm.
And that's, I think, that's the most important. And I think the crowd will like it. It'll be a different take on everything. You know, if they know that everything's ad-lib and... no one knows what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing. I think the crowd will be quite eager to see how everyone does on stage, you know, and how the energies combine.
Yeah. Exactly, it's so beautiful.
I reckon we should.
Well, I want to watch.
I know. I'll have to eat.
But this is the thing. You get to jump off stage and watch as well, and then come on.
Yeah.
So if there's like 10 musicians. You can actually jump off in the middle of the song if you want.
Yeah,
why not? Jump in the middle of the song.
Imagine like a melody comes to your mind and
you're
like, hey, I have to be there.
Yeah, yeah. And you jump off. Yeah, jump like all the instruments, they're all on 11. They're dialed to 11, full blast. And you just go on and you just pick your instrument and you just play. All right, that's a good idea.
We should do it.
That's a good idea.
We'll need a big place because there's a lot of musicians. There's probably more musicians than actual people who are watching.
Well, musicians, we're also audience.
Yeah, we are. You're quite right. You're quite right. Karina, the genres that you do, there's a bit of a mixture, yeah?
Yes, that was the question. Your influences, and because I've worked with you for a while, and from your humble beginnings, you've crossed so many different styles of music and your music keeps evolving and it's really cool to see. And we'd love to know, I guess, who your influences currently are. And I guess you can even feel free to go back a bit and I'd love to hear how your music has evolved in terms of that influence and your style and how even what inspired you to get into the looping. Because when I met you, you were in a band and you were playing a completely different style. So it's just really cool to see the changes and transitions between.
Well, I think I started more with folk music and the first, I guess, is just the feeling of like living away from your house and away from your home. And I think I just needed that connection with my country. And it was really nice because it's been amazing to discover musicians that when I was in Chile, I didn't know. You know, it's like, it's just crazy how you appreciate so much more when you see things far away away from you. And that's how I started. And I think it was a great way because then It's like when, you know, it's when you're gonna go and travel. First travel in your country, see what, you know, what your home is like, and then you go and travel away and you can tell about your country. So the same thing with me with music. It's like, okay, I explored like more folk music from Chile. I did a little bit of cueca. We did saya with, you know, my old band Terra Sur. We were doing very like folk sort of Andinian music as well. And then after, when I decided to take away, I decided to sort of stop the being part of the band, and I wanted to take like a more solo journey. That's when I got the loop pedal, my first loop pedal, which was just two channels loop pedal, quite easy to do. And I got inspired by people in YouTube, and also because I wanted to write music, more music. I was writing music already, and the first thing I wrote music first with the guitar. I think it's a good start. I knew the instrument, and I knew some chord progressions. I didn't know much about theory really. But I was just like sort of thinking, okay, this chord progression I like, I do something on top of that. And then when I started to understand more music, I went to, I went to school.
Where did you go?
I went to the Melbourne Polytechnic.
Oh, okay.
And I did the Bachelor of Music. And I was just so worth it. I just loved studying music. I was, that theory nerd. I love theory. I love math. So I think for me, music and theory was all, coming together.
There's a connection there.
Totally. It's like all formulas. And yeah. I did finance. So I'm a really number person.
So you're a musician that makes money then? Finance, music? Mate, that's a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
Not a lot of musicians have that combination.
Yes, I guess I'm a very unique person in those terms. In one moment, when I was like, okay, I want to spend more time in music, I want to learn music, and I want to do the Bachelor of Music, I was like, I'm so weird. Like, I did finance, and I've been working in a bank for a little while. I like accounting, and then I want to learn music. But yeah, then that's why theory and... I really like the theory of music because, I like how, formulas work and how it's very mathematical.
Yeah, it is. The music theory is very mathematical, but I think there's a clear delineation, a clear line where it's your theory and then it's your playing, I think.
Oh.
I think that helps you to get where you're playing, but when you become at the standard where you're creating and you're doing something that's not standard or anything, then there's that line is like you've crossed over that line where you're just creating, but then you go back to actually either notate or put down as a rhythm form of what you're doing. So there's a bouncing over the
for sure.
Friends, that's how I see it anyway.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, so like in my inspirations with the music and all that, I think it's just coming from different sources. I'm always listening to new music. I see how music is evolving as well. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I want to evolve with that music as well. I think you have to. That's why I got the loop pedal. And I'm understanding a bit more about production, about beats, about creating beats, about using sound. That was also something that I learned that I didn't like it that much because it's difficult for me. All the the productions, the sound, how you can play with the sounds.
Yeah.
How, I don't know, I bought a synthesizer from Amala actually. And at the beginning I was like, what is this? And now it just I found it very interesting.
And then you become Herbie Hancock.
So that's why my music is just, evolving, because every time I learn something new, I apply it to my music. And I think that's really good. And I'm still exploring new music. And
you will for the rest of your life.
For sure.
Music is infinite for all of us. It's infinite.
Sometimes I get a bit like, I'm not 100% sure if I'm doing it right. Sometimes you're like, well, I'm sort of crossing genres here.
But what is right?
I know, it's like...
That's the question, either. What is right?
Like, I got a song, Haro, to it, and then I got some music that's a bit more electronic, using a little bit synthesizers and a bit more, drum machines and mixing it with, with pedals, effects.
You're going to a new world.
You're creating a new...
Yeah, you're going to a new world. I know how it is because I'm in the same boat. I was like a while ago, it was just guitar or whatever. But now I've gone into other sort of genres and fusing this and fusing that. It just opens up your mind, and it just opens up all these ideas in your head. Oh, I can do this. Oh, I can do this as well. Oh, maybe this effect if I try this. Yeah. Oh, geez, that sounds good, not bad. And then you work on that. But that, yeah, it's a big thing. I think if you just stick to what you're doing, I think you're closing the doors on yourself creatively. So, no, that's very important.
I'm glad I hear that from you, because like sometimes I'm not sure if that I'm doing the right thing, but I'm following what I'm feeling as well. Yeah, you know,
exactly.
And I think
that's
the right thing. And every time, like, if you keep learning, of course your music keep changing. And I think that's interesting. I think I want to do something that is myself. Yeah. And for that, you need to explore, and you need to make things that maybe not everyone will like, and doesn't matter. I'm exploring. I think, like, it's great to have that sort of unique genre. There's like people don't know how to actually, you know, explain what you do. It's like, which genre it is, I don't know. Even it's hard to, sometimes I feel like it's even hard to apply for, like, I want to go to a festival, but I'm not a jazz player, I'm not a folk player, I'm not, you know, it's like.
But that's the beauty.
Where do I fit?
You just have to look, let me try you something, and how about you pick the genre?
It's so true, though, and even we've had conversations about this in the past. Like, we used to share music that we've been writing, and I remember you sent me something or played me something, and you were like, what do you think of this? It's very different to what I normally... I remember this conversation, and it really opens up. And then we start to go, oh, but what about my current fans? Will they like this new style?
Yeah.
And will I lose some people? But in the end, you're evolving. I mean, for me, like, I love that musicians I follow are changing and evolving, because it opens us up to different sounds as well.
Yeah.
And then it can give us... You've given me so many ideas for my own music as well, because your style keeps changing.
Yeah.
And it's really catchy. It's like a mix... You've currently got this mix of dancey, but like almost folk. It's a folk dance vibe. So part of you wants to just sway, but then the other part's like wanting to really like get in there and dance. It's really like a cool mix.
Yeah.
And it's different. It's very different.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
And you want to hear more of it, because it's so unique. And you want to, it's almost like, for me, I love listening to new styles, because then my ears are like, oh, what's this? I need to hear it again. And then you listen to it a few more times, and then you really appreciate the I guess I don't want to use the word work, but the ideas and different colors that are in it, and it's just really cool.
I think a lot of the influences as well, like a lot of like the Latin roots is still, of course, in me. It won't change. I think my music always will have, because that's the music I like to listen as well, and I'm always listening to new people doing new things in Latin America. And I think that's sort of like what makes me my music me.
Yeah.
Also, I think also staying for singers, especially if I can give an advice, like for creation, just like it's so amazing when we use our voice, because our voice will sort of it will be so unique. It's like no one else has your same voice. Like the voice is always gonna be unique. So I think creating with your voice is something so so beautiful and so different.
Of course.
And also will be very like true to yourself, because all the sounds, all the music that you have ever heard in your life is in your body, is in your mind, is in your, you know, in your brain. So whenever you're gonna sing, that's gonna come out from you.
I totally agree, Karina, and I think that the voice is the hardest instrument to master. Like, you can play 5, 10, 20 different instruments, but the voice, it's a thing that you need to, if you haven't got it, you need to train to have it. And you need to train all the time. And you have to, you have to appreciate what it does. Like, my father was a singer, and he was a good singer. And I grew up with him singing. For me, it was just a normal thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it came where a point where I tried to sing as well, and I thought, nah, this is, you know, then it changed my whole outlook on voice, on this instrument. Because this instrument, when you hear someone singing and you think, oh yeah, he or she's good, you know, good sound. And then when you hear that other step, that other level, and you think, geez, what can the human do? What can the human voice do? That thing, it's like, I can train to play the guitar. Someone can train to play an instrument. Someone can read notes or whatever, but that voice, to keep it at that level all the time, is such hard work. And even if you've got it, and if you've got that gift of having an amazing voice, you still need to maintain it. You still need to upkeep it. So you need to create, you need to be creative with it, like you are doing things with your voice, doing other things, doing things that people probably won't imagine that comes from the voice. That that's an art in itself, but that's also your development. That's bringing out your sound. Like it's when you hear a choir. Mm. When you hear a choir, when you hear one person on its own, you think, yeah, that's good. But then you hear the rest of it, that's layered, right? Awesome. And that's big.
That's big, yeah.
You know? So yeah, it's a big appreciation for people who sing. It's like,
yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm just starting to do some solo singing, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, this is really, it's really hard. You have to really, and also what I've realized is I lost my voice recently, as you know, and because we are all using our voices all the time, I agree, it's one of the hardest instruments to finesse, and in that you're always using it, so you really need to maintain that, take care of it as well. Sure. We're just talking all the time, and little things can really affect
how
the production of the, it's an instrument, and we forget, and it's just so, it's also very powerful, and there's so many tone colours, and like you said, it's just, and I love what you've been doing with the looper again, because you're always creating these different ideas, and you do percussion with your voice as well. There's so many.
I've been trying to actually, I need to practice more, but I've seen people, they're absolutely amazing. Just so I admire them so much. It's like, it's really hard work to do beatboxing, even for breathing, the way they have to breathe, because some of them never stop.
No, because they cycle breathe through their nose.
It's circular breathing.
Circular breathing.
I have to say, I had to put that as a goal. I need to do that.
Let's learn it together. I'll do it on the flute.
Yeah. Start playing a didgeridoo.
Oh, they do that? The
yeah. Actually, you'd be good at didgeridoo.
Yeah, for sure.
I reckon you'd be good at didgeridoo. You'd be probably amazing.
I'm going off topic a little bit here, but didgeridoo, I've heard that it's bad luck. I don't know if it's changed for a woman to play the didgeridoo, so I've never touched it.
Oh, really?
I used to sell them on one of my many jobs in Perth. I sold didgeridoos for a while. And
is that coming from the actual...
The tradition. Yeah.
Also, the women are not supposed to play
it. It's bad luck, apparently. But I want to look into it more. But it seems that it's changing. But I still feel part of me is like, oh, like this respect.
Well, if you identify as a didgeridoo playing a didgeridoo, you probably won't have a problem.
I could find PVC piping. Oh, you know, that's another way.
Actually, there are people who do that as well, and they put holes.
Ah, yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's very impressive. For different tuning.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. I reckon you'll be really good at it.
We could all learn it together. I mean,
then you can loop.
Yeah, loop something. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah.
There was a guy, I don't know if he's still there, but actually in the city, Mr. Busk, with the Jutu. He was great.
Yeah,
he would actually busk and have cajon.
With the bell. Wow!
He was really good though. He would loop some stuff, and he'll do like EDM and stuff like that. And he was there every day, and people were just around him, and really, really, really great. Had a down pat, you know, like off the bat, without even thinking about it, he would just do it.
Wow! It was inspiring. Fantastic.
Yeah, really, 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 really good. You're from Chile, yeah?
Yeah.
There's just a lot of Chileans here. Chileans. So you probably feel that
Chileans.
Here.
Yeah. Almost.
Almost. Because you were saying, you know, going back to your home country and seeing what is there and how it was when you were there. I find that sometimes with people that have come here, the country evolves and then you don't evolve with it. You know, so you don't... it's funny when you go back and things have changed, you know, like if musically or however else. But do you still have a strong connection, like with the music or musicians there?
Yes.
And do you take that on here, or how do you involve them, or how do you involve that part of it in your music as an influence?
Well, as an influence, I'm always listening to what is happening in Chile. Yeah. Today, these days, you know, with Instagram, Facebook and all
it's
that,
easier, yeah.
It's sort of easy to support to them, yeah. You know, like following them or yeah. like even, you know, saving their music or listening to the music, all yeah. that helps. And now when I go to Chile, I'm trying always to do, and I go pretty often because my family is there mm. and, you know, like, yeah, my family is so, so important for me and try to go at least once a year, once every 2 years.
Yeah.
And the last times I've been there, I've been playing with all the musicians.
Mm.
I don't know many people, like when I was in Chile, I wasn't making music. So I'm not really, I don't have a lot of musician friends there. Okay. So you weren't really in the scene. But now when I go, last time I connected with this amazing musician, Priscilla Ninoska, beautiful music, a bit more folky than my music, but we decided to do a gig together. I asked her through Instagram, you know, yeah. social media, hey, I follow you, I love your music, why don't we do a concert together?
Yeah.
And she accepted and we played together. Fantastic. We did a couple of songs together, I used her band. It was just an amazing experience. Mm. You know how music just brings you
yeah.
more friends, it's
of
amazing.
Course.
And now I'm gonna go and I'm gonna do some recording over there. So
nice.
I'm always, you know, sort of like, I think it's very important that I keep connecting with Chile.
Of course.
Because the music I make it for Australia, but I also try to make it for Mexico because I go also a
yeah.
lot to Mexico because of my husband, but also to Chile. You know, I want to keep that connection with Latin America.
Of
it's my home.
And it's different when you go there and you play the music that's there. It's different. It's a different aura. It's a different energy. Like, don't get me wrong, Melbourne's great. It's a fantastic city. And we're very lucky to be here because we have all these genres and it's a melting pot of everything.
Mm.
But when you go specifically to a country and you're there and you're in that moment, you're at the Holy Grail, it's like, you know, when I go to Spain for flamenco, it's like you're there.
Mm.
It's like, it's a different energy, you know, or even if you go to India and you're listening to the Indian music, you're not going to get that energy and you're not going to get that air and that thing that fulfills you when you're in the middle of it.
Nice.
You know, it can be overwhelming too.
Yeah.
And I think you come back here and you're more than inspired. You know, I think you're a different person sometimes when you come here and you think, all right, what can I do now?
Yeah.
Hit the studio or hit the gigs or hit this or, you know, you want to change things. You've learned from there and you've come back. And I know we've got Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and everything like that, but sitting with a person, you know, like this, or having just a chat with people, it's a different thing. And then you come back and you think, all right, well, what am I going to do now? What do I want to do? What is my heart to do? So, and that's very fulfilling. When you come from a country where it's all around you all the time, 24/7, you know, and then you come here and you think, all right, I wanna portray that. I want that same thing in this song.
Mm.
And that's how I see it. Is it? How do you feel about
it's
that?
It's absolutely the same. Like you go to another country, you perform there. It was just absolutely amazing. And every time I go to Chile, I come back and like somehow I compose 2 songs.
Is it?
It's like so much inspiration.
Yeah.
It's like the songs are there, like waiting for you. Hey, write me.
Yeah.
Just like, just, you know, go there with the
yeah.
guitar or with the loop pedal and just, you know, bring that song into life. I think also like the family, the love that you receive. AMLA was in Chile as well. I feel like in Chile, oh, it's just like people is so, I don't know, it gives you a lot of love. Like every
warm.
Time I go,
very
it's
warm.
So warm. My family is fighting for me, like, who are you going to stay in? Which house? It's like, my brother has a house, my mom, my sister. So it's like, it's just, you know,
you
feel...
You need a month just to see everyone.
You feel so loved. And
yeah.
and you see them once and they tell you, no, we have to see each other twice
yeah.
at least or 3 times. And so you never say goodbye.
Yeah.
It's like, in at the end, sometimes you don't have the time to see everyone. Chile is amazing. Mexico, when I was in Mexico, that I had my Mexican family, you know, through my partner. But also people there, just so beautiful to sing to them. It's just different. In Mexico, they appreciate a lot of music. The people has the culture to go and spend their money. Sometimes not much money, but they have the culture of going to see performance.
That's their priority, to go and see music. I'm a big fan of Mexican rancheras, Mexican rancheras, you know, and it's a different thing. People go to these concerts and they're massive. It's like, you know, it's like Vicente Fernandez, Alejandro Fernandez, and all that. They're big. They're like bigger than the president, you know.
Yeah, they're huge.
And you get a different appreciation of everything.
It's part of their culture. The music is very important. For example, like they have. I remember when I was living in there, they have this in La Plaza, the center of the city. Zócalo is called. It's huge. They have the temples there, the church. They do concerts there for free, and they bring really good artists.
Yeah.
Very good artists. Very like the ones that charge you a lot when you go to. But this is free. So they in Mexico City they bring a lot of music. Like the government spend the money to bring music in there, like for free for people. So it's just. Absolutely, and you know, and big artists, and you're like, wow, this country is very different than Chile, and Chile doesn't really happen like that. So it's a bit, I feel sometimes a bit more difficult for Chileans. A lot of Chileans also go to Mexico to try to make it there, to bring, you know, like to have an audience there, and then sometimes I'm famous in Mexico first, and after in Chile. A lot of artists like La Ley, Los Tres, you know, big artists from Chile, they were famous first in Mexico.
But that's only not only from now, that's from years and years, you know, like from Uruguay, Paraguay, they all go to Mexico. They always go to Mexico to actually, what you said, to become, to jump on that bandwagon to become someone popular, right?
Exactly.
And I think that was because there was that direct line with America.
Yeah, for sure.
Back in the days, in the 50s and 60s, all these American pop artists, they used to record in Spanish as well. Yeah. So they would get that audience as well because South America is huge, right? Mexico in itself is big, but then you got the rest of South America, right? So that's a big market.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, has stuck. And that's why people go to Mexico, because they've got that direct line to America.
Yeah.
But in saying all of that as well, the normal people, like in South America, they've always got something on, the music on, every day. Every day, the music is on every day. Even me here, it's like something's on every day. Or something's.
I grew up like that. Yeah. Like music in my house all the time.
There was music in my house all the time. Yeah. My, as well.
The radio. Yeah, all the songs, the same songs. but music.
Yeah, my dad was in charge of the stereo. Like he would put everything because he was a big Mexican
fan.
Yeah. Wow. And he sang rancheras, right?
Oh,
and he went to Guadalajara and he sang with mariachi and everything, right?
Oh, that's amazing.
So he was obsessed. So the first thing would be that. Then after that, there would be probably something South American, something Spanish. Then he'll go into the Balkans and something Macedonian, something Turkish, even Indian. He had Chinese at one stage. I was brought up in everything. Mm. But there was always music in the house. And that's, I think, what happens in South America and Mexico. And this is why when they listen to this music and then this big artist comes, they go, well, I want to see them in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they all go, you know. Whereas I think here, it's. I'm not saying that the people don't love it, but that it's a different lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different lifestyle. And I think we're a bit spoiled for choice here because we can go out in Melbourne any night of the week and go and see a band.
Yeah, sure.
And something different. If I want to say something, I want to see something different, you know. Or what are we going to do? Just like get the gig or whatever, Facebook, bang, see what's on.
Yeah.
And we are spoiled for choice. And that's why I love Melbourne and I love the music scene here. I just think that more needs to be done to support the artists.
Yeah.
And that's that. So we can actually bring that more of that art to the people.
And I think because of the you know, like the different genres that we have here, like the music that is you know, starting here is absolutely amazing. I mean, you see some artists, it's amazing. We are also so far away. I feel like also Australia needs to do something about also exporting the artists, you know?
Yeah.
More. I mean, what is happening in Melbourne, it has to be seen in the world, not just here.
I agree, Karina. That's a really good point. That's a really good point. And this is why back in the days, people used to leave Australia, the big bands and people like INXS and Kylie Minogue, and they all left Australia.
Yeah.
Why? Because it wasn't that Australia was exporting them. They actually went on their own.
Yeah.
So this is, you've hit the nail on the head there. I totally agree. They need to do more. That's a very good point. And that's something that the Australian government needs to look into and supporting the musicians, because people think that, there's no money to be made from a business perspective or corporate perspective, maybe for a musician. But the minute, as you said, you have the export and they're bringing money into this country, well, then they look at it differently.
You know?
And I think there are so many musicians here in Australia that a lot of them get lost in the mix, and it's very hard. We know it's a tough industry, but can you imagine being in America and doing it?
Oof.
It's like 100 times more.
It's more competition.
I know years and years ago, I knew of someone who was Australian. He moved to the States. Great guitarist, like one of the best that I've ever seen at that time. And he went, and you know, I think he'd done Berkeley and stuff like that, and I think finished and that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The competition, and this I'm talking about years ago, and the competition was so big and so great that he actually got a gig playing in a Christian band. Right, doing the churches. It wasn't anything popular, but he was at that point, he was making like $70,000-$80,000 a year. And we're talking about 20 years ago.
Yeah, wow.
Because he was touring 365 days, and he was full time. He goes, look, I didn't think that I was going to do this job. I wanted to be a rock star.
Yeah.
But I'm making more money than probably some of the hired guns for Guns N' Roses and all of them. So he. That band, like the Christian community in America, is massive. So all the time, he goes, I couldn't even keep up at one stage. So he was, back then, he was making 70, 80 grand a year.
Yeah.
This is 20 years ago. So, and that was, and this is the thing, like, you need to, sometimes you need to go with the flow of something. Like, if something's not happening there, I think in what you want to do, and you're pushing and something's not happening, try a different avenue.
Yeah,
and I think that's what we're doing here. Definitely. In Melbourne. We're trying different avenues. We're trying different music. We're trying, like, I'm doing fusion. I'm fusing with different genres and trying to connect with different musicians, because obviously flamenco here is so small of a niche. It's pretty much non-existent, right? So I need to go into that, and not only for myself to develop, but to... There's another genre out there like flamenco to educate some people that don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And I suppose there's a lot of genres like that are of the same nature. But I think it's very important to do what you're doing, but have an open opinion about everything. And if one path doesn't lead you there, or it's blocked, try a different path. I know some of the young musicians, they want to be rock stars and they want to, you know, just do their genre and that's it. I know I was like that.
Yeah.
But you need to really open up your potential, you know?
For sure. And I think you need to also listen. I feel like going with the flow and not resisting is the best you can do. You're going to have a happier life as well.
But I think that comes with age as well, with experience.
Yeah, for sure. And now I'm showing my age.
I'm the eldest here, so that's not my problem. But I think when you're young, when you're 20s and you just made your bed.
We all wanted to be rock stars.
That's the thing.
But for me, even with life, you know, like when I came to Australia, I wasn't really expecting to be still here. I mean, 12 years.
So your plan was to go back?
I was like, I was going to just go, you know, come for a year and then... I had the opportunity, opportunities came to me. I looked for them as well, but look, it couldn't what happened if nothing came to me, any opportunity?
Yeah.
Then you need to be smart in life and be like, okay, maybe this is not my path, you know? Maybe this is not the way I have to do it.
Yeah.
And I feel like reinventing yourself, flowing with life, and just believing as well. I think trusting, hey, maybe this will bring me a bit better. And yeah, like you were saying about like the music, sometimes we have like an idea, okay, of like what is like, oh, I want to be famous, or I want to be recognized, or I want to be this and that.
Why are you doing it? Why are you on the journey?
It's very important that we ask ourselves why we're doing this, and sometimes thinking that fame is gonna bring us happiness. Yeah. So it's just no. Many people who are the really famous, 100%. They're not happy. So it's just like about making your life, you know, happy as well. I know.
So true. Like, you took the words out of my mouth. It's about making yourself happy. And I think music, although sometimes it can be stressful and can be complicated, especially when you're creating, when you're out there and you're playing it, whether you're playing it to one person or you're playing it to a million people, I think you're out there and you're playing it, you're a different self. You're a different person. It's like you enter a different world, you know. So being happy and being in that world is very important for your own being, in your own fulfillment, you know. And if that's what makes you happy, then just do it.
Yeah.
That's why we're doing it.
Otherwise,
we wouldn't do it if we didn't enjoy it.
Exactly. It's not because we're making millions.
Yeah.
No, we're not. But look, we are millionaires when we hit the stage. Yeah. And then after that stage, that feeling is just absolutely amazing.
Well, it depends on the sort of how you play it on the stage.
Sometimes some stages are difficult.
Yeah.
I try always to be like positive. But yeah, sometimes some gigs are not as good.
No, you want to jump off the stage and go straight.
You learn and grow from them.
I try to enjoy every gig though. I try to not be so hard with myself. It is difficult. As musicians, we could be very, very hard on ourselves.
I know.
It's something we need to learn how to be nice with ourselves, and we're not robots. We're not like the Spotify, you know, perfect, you know, production
produced.
Exactly.
To this level.
Exactly.
You know?
And but it's nothing better than, you know, a live version of a song.
Yeah, of course.
But also, like, mistakes are part of it.
I mean, of course.
But so many times I've heard musicians after stage, like, you know, like a gig is done and you go and you were like, hey, you were great. And they tell you, oh, you know, I made this mistake and this mistake. And I've done it also.
I think we've all done it.
And we should just don't do that.
Yeah.
We should just try to avoid and be like, you know, hey, be gentle with yourself. You did the best.
Yeah. And that sometimes when you say it to someone, that doesn't really affect them as much. But when you say it to yourself, I think it's more powerful, and you learn from what you've done, and you know for the next gig what to do and what to expect.
Yeah. And plus, it's never as bad as you think.
So you go and ask the audience, and no one really.
So when you jump on the stage, it's like, all right, we're in the vortex of something, and we're playing something, and we're in our heads.
We've got filters on.
Yeah.
But I think most of the time we do have a good time, and that feeling is just that adrenaline, that nervousness before you are on stage. It's just the best pay.
And for
me, the best pay is when I see the people or singing your songs a little bit, or dancing with you, or clapping, and that's the best pay for me. It's like wow, this is just
or crying. No, in a good way.
From nostalgia, a lot of the times, you know, they're reminded of some good times, and then they start, you know, crying, and it's a different world, and I think we do it because we love it and we have a passion for it, and our hearts open, and our being opens up on stage to the audience, and if you're that person where, and this is where people that are watching you, they absorb your energy and they see, oh, this person's really opening up their energy, and they're really playing for us. We're absorbing them. And that is, you can't do that with every profession.
No.
You know, especially on stage in front of, you know, even if it's in front of one person or a million people, it doesn't matter. You're on stage. Once you're on stage and people are watching you and you've got the lights on and you think, something clicks in your head and you think, now you're in a different mode. So
I feel like I'm a little a different person. Yeah, I feel same. Like it's like my other Karina in yeah. there. It's like, okay, here I get to be, you know, whatever I want to be.
Yeah. We were talking about that with Emily the last podcast about split personalities on stage and off stage.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah. And yeah, it's not that you're schizophrenic, but you are a
it's
different
like
person.
By night.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whoever you want to be.
Yeah, whoever you want to be.
Your flavor.
Your flavor.
And your genre is your flavor. That's how I say it. Whatever genre that may be, maybe your own genre.
I like that. Your genre is your flavor.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I think so.
And to finesse the flower, that one.
Yeah.
We're coming up with these quite a lot, but it's pretty good. Karina, what projects are you working on at the moment? Give us a little bit of an insight of your projects or any gigs that are coming up or anything like that.
All right. Very excited that I've been playing now a few gigs now together with Amla and Fabian. We're doing this trio under like my name and with my original music, but they just are very important for me because I learned so much from them. They are like my two mentors and they play with me, so it's amazing. Imagine. I'm really happy. We trying again. Like I love that they want to be involved in this new sort of ideas that I have using the loop pedal, creating vocals, and also on top, Fabian is in charge of more of the drums, drum machine, Amla with her violin and flute, and there's just like a lot of new ideas and new music happening. So, because of all that playing that we've done this year. We actually recorded two songs. They are on on YouTube. You can watch it. Is the live version of this new sort of genre that we're playing, or new style with the trio. And at the end of the year, I'm gonna go and record in Chile some of this music. So at the moment, I'm doing all the structure of the music. I'm just pre-recording at home, just getting preparing. So get all like the skeleton of the song, like the prototype, I guess. It's gonna be an EP. So that we're doing that. And also in two more Fridays, we just done a collaboration with some dancers, Son de Mexico. It was really nice because I composed this song and recorded this song, Son de la Luna Dormida, which is a son jarocho. Well, I tried to do it as son jarocho in my own version. And so they've been dancing the song for a little while. They created all this choreography with all these amazing costumes from Veracruz and Mexico. So they told me that they've been practicing. And funny thing, when I see my Spotify, I know that they perform, like they practice on Wednesday nights because I can see how many times that the song was played because they've been performing the song. So I told them, we need to record a video together. Where I'm singing, you're performing. Of course, the focus for me was like, you need to be the main, you know, character, like the main, you know, focus of the video. Yeah. So the video is done and I'm so excited.
Oh, it is?
It is
fantastic.
Done.
Fantastic. When's the release?
We're going to release it next Friday.
Amazing.
Right.
And it's just a beautiful collaboration. Fantastic. And look, I had a little video when we were recording the song in the studio, which it was nice. I never did a video clip for this song. But you know when you like you just wait and things happen.
Yeah.
They told me, look, we're dancing the song, and they have this just amazing, you know, costumes, just beautiful. Mm-hmm. They dance beautifully the song, and I thought, well, this is the video, you know, like this is, you know, I needed to wait 3 years. But it's never too late. Never too late to do a video for your songs, and this is like also maybe a message for all the artists that sometimes we are recording music, it's hard, like it's expensive. Then we need to make videos. Then, you know, like social media and all that. And in general, they tell you, oh, bring a song, do a video, do this, but, you know, release this. And look, 3 years after, I'm releasing a video.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Your music is all, you can always renovate your music.
That's right.
do a video again. Why not?
Redo it.
It's just, you know, keep using your, it's your music. Like you can use it and you can reuse it all the time you want. There's no rules, I think.
I totally agree. And I think there's a beauty in that as well. And if someone, it's really good if someone else actually takes your music and redoes it as well and they do it justice, you know.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a different style, different genre, but listening to your music in a different take from a different perspective, different point of view, sometimes it's interesting, you know. So
very interesting.
Yeah,
yes.
But yeah, you're quite right. And look, we wish you all the very best.
Thank you
so much for coming on the podcast.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you.
We're gonna have you again as well.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. We'd love to have you back.
Give the people a break. In another year.
Thank you so much for being
thank
on.
You so much.
I just want to mention these lovely cakes are from Cake Eclipse.
Ooh.
And yeah, that's
now we're gonna eat it because we need a wood interview.
Yes, that's it. All done with the episode. So thanks once again, Karina.
Thank you. We'll pop
all your links and stuff like that on the actual clip itself.
Yeah. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Till next time. Ciao.
Bye. Ba 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 ba
The Strike a Chord podcast, presented to you by ValentinoFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.